Hi, and welcome to this week's Three Legs, Four Wheels F1 podcast. It's Paul here with...
Dan.
Very, very happy, Lee.
Why would you be happy? Oh, and no, Chris this week. He's on holidays chasing Mark Webber in Perth or something.
I'm not here. I'm happy because he's not here. And Jensen signed.
You've been waiting for that a little bit, haven't you?
A little bit, yeah. Ending literally weeks of speculation.
And sleepless nights.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say you've been walking around in circles like an expectant father, but there is a sort of ring that you've worn away in your carpet. At least that's what I hope you've been doing. So, yes, Jensen is with McLaren for another year.
So that's one of their drivers definitely with them.
Yeah, because they haven't announced who else is officially. Although Fernando has said, I have a 3-year contract with McLaren, and this will be the team that I retire from Formula One with.
Fernando said, I will finish my career with the team before... He said that with Ferrari. He said Ferrari will be the last team.
He was pretty much right.
Well, yeah, because he's not really got a career at the minute, has he?
Well, he's picking up a wage packet.
Well, yeah, true. And not getting electrocuted.
Well, imagine the size of a wage packet for a Formula 1 driver would have to have if it was the old paper packet things.
You know those novelty checks? Yeah. It'd just be a bundle of notes the size of a novelty check. So, the lineup for next year is starting to look a bit more organised, shall we say. Haas, who we only found out about 20 minutes ago, aren't the same Haas that Nigel Mansell used to drive for.
Surprise to all of us.
Yeah. They have announced Grosjean and his sponsorship. Although, I did notice that Lotus are keeping sponsorship from Total.
When was the Haas thing that Mansell was in?
That was the mid-90s.
Was that before or after he couldn't fit his Haas in a McLaren?
Oh!
Badum-tish.
I wondered why you'd been sat there grinning for the last 20 minutes. He has been sat nesting that joke like a protective mother penguin.
I'm a very happy man.
We apologise for all the really bad Haas puns that are going to happen until the team retire from the sport.
Yeah.
Or we retire from podcasting.
Yeah, I'm not sure which will happen. It depends when the money runs out for who.
Yeah.
Talking of, we are thinking of doing a Kickstarter, so we'll let you know that in good time. Who do we think is going to be driving alongside Grosjean? Or
Everyone will avoid driving alongside.
Well, yeah, okay. Who is going to be getting out of Grosjean's way? Hang on, we have to bring this back to Jensen, don't we?
Well, no, let's rewind this for a minute. Who's going to be sat next to Jensen?
I think it's going to be Fernando.
But why wasn't he at the press conference? They could have cancelled all the speculation by rolling them both out in McLaren overalls, and they could have both gave the same bullshit about how they're very excited to continue their partnership with Honda.
Because if they announced that Fernando was racing with McLaren at the press conference, then there wouldn't be a load of cameras hovering around people in McLaren uniforms at Sochi.
I suppose.
They also wouldn't have people sat, I don't know, for example, in front rooms giving airtime to speculation about who's going to be driving the other McLaren next season, because there'd be less to talk about.
I see what you're saying. I don't agree with it. I don't think McLaren won the exposure they're getting, because they're not, it's not even like the drivers are getting the same amount of talk time. They're, you know, it's just pen interviews where they're getting press shoved at them. The times when that McLaren are getting the extra time is when Ron Dennis is being bullied about who's driving his bloody cars. So
we're talking about who McLaren's drivers are going to be. We're not talking about the Honda performance problems.
No, that's true, but...
No, we're talking about who's going to drive the sucky car next season, not how much the sucky car sucks.
It's a distraction.
But why are we talking about who's driving the car? We're talking about the cars. It's not because Alonso might be getting a deal with Mercedes or Red Bull or something like that. We're talking about that he thinks that car's that bad, he could possibly walk out of the sport. That's not good press for any team.
Yeah, but how many other people are saying that he could possibly walk out of the sport now that Jensen's signed? Because there's been the positive noises coming out of McLaren.
I'd argue there's more chance of him walking now because Jensen's signed. Because it could even be a panic move. Shit, we need to keep one of our senior drivers if Alonso's going to go.
I can kind of...
They left it till the day that it was announced on the 1st, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, his option was up on the 30th. They signed that deal for Jensen on the last fucking day of that contract.
That was always going to happen, though.
Well,
Ron Dennis is an expert at playing the media.
Yeah, but he hasn't been an expert at this because I think Jensen ruined him because Ron Dennis didn't want to pay him the money, and I think Jensen tricked everybody into thinking he wanted to retire. Including me.
Well, yeah, you've been in tears for the last fortnight.
Yeah, this is the first time I've smiled. In fact, it's gone from such crushing lows to crushing highs. I think I might have become a manic depressive. But...
I've got some tablets for that.
Yes! Love tablets!
one thing that you did point out while we're in full-on conspiracy mode was Ron Dennis's interview at the end of Japan. Where Formula One takes up too much time.
Yeah, I think the quote was something along the lines of, Formula One is a very time-consuming business that requires all your time, and I simply can't give that, or something along those lines, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Well, he did take that step back a couple of years ago, and he's come back in because, Martin Whitmarsh.
Yeah, again, though, I don't think Martin Whitmarsh... I don't think Marsh and Whitmarsh did a bad job. You can't blame that all on one guy.
That's easy for you to say.
Yes,
it is. Well, it wasn't.
No, Martin Whitmarsh was thrown under the bus, I think. So some senior McLaren member had to be seen to be guilty in front of the board. And he was
whipped. They could bring hero Ron back to save the team.
Yeah.
Well, it's called playing the boulier this season.
It does sound a bit like Ron's seen what Jensen Button and Fernando Alonso have done with the whole speculation thing and gone, I could have a bit of that for myself. Yeah, I'm not sure which team I'll be principal of next season.
Yeah, the only difference is if Ron keeps saying, yeah, maybe I don't want to be part of Formula One, everyone's going to go, ace. Fine, you just send us a postcard. Go find Ross Brawn, he's fishing somewhere.
Yeah, in Ron's shark tank.
And then as he's walking away, someone goes, ring Ross Brawn.
So we're still no further forward on who's going to be driving for McLaren anyway, because we knew that one of them would be.
Well, there was an interesting tweet just before, wasn't there?
Well, yes, Dan, yes. You found this.
Kevin Magnussen...
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, has tweeted up a birthday message saying... I should hopefully know very soon, I should hopefully be able to announce very soon what I'm going to be doing with my 23rd year. So, he's 23, hence the context.
Yes. So what do we think he's going to be doing? Tinfoil hats on, guys.
There are two big options, aren't there? There is McLaren, who he has a history with them. He's their current test driver. Mm-hmm. Or there is a seat in Renault.
Or Haas.
I can't see him going to Haas because he's got no history with Ferrari. And Ferrari are going to be using Haas in the same way that, on the face of things, Toro Rosso is to Red Bull.
The only thing I'd argue with this, because it's been Gutierrez that's been sort of tipped for this seat. Now... I understand why Gutierrez has been tipped for the seat, but I don't think it's still a waste of a Formula One seat in my eyes.
You really don't like Gutierrez.
I don't think he's good enough now. I don't think he's good enough to be in Formula One.
I'd like to see John Eric Verne get it.
I'd like to see John Eric Verne get it.
He is too good for Formula One.
Yeah, he is too good
for Formula One. He deserves more time in Formula One.
Yeah.
See, there was a thing that put me off Gutierrez before his first season. When he was asked whether he thought what he thought Formula One was going to be like, and if he was ready for it, and he answered the reporter by saying, "I don't know if I'm ready for Formula One. I'll have to see when I get in the car." What a rubbish answer for a racing driver! He should have turned around and said, "Yeah, give me Tim Bathurst when you're a world championship."
But I seem to remember Craig Pollock saying something like that when BAR were just about to launch, and that went well, didn't it?
Yeah, but I tell you what, if you have asked Max Verstappen at 17 last year, are you ready for Formula 1? He said yes.
Yeah, I've been playing on the PlayStation for
years.
I remember it on the PS3. That long ago. Yeah, my dad threatened to kick me in the nuts if I didn't go to bed and turn my console
off. Is this still the same conversation when Matt Maldonado's in the back looking for the red shells?
Yeah. So it's still all speculation. We haven't had a proper silly season this year. It's been a bit, I don't know, it's like we've been drip-fed with the silly season. Normally it all just comes at you, bang, 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 and this is all, well, this might happen and this might happen.
There's been no big seats, really.
Well, we, of course, still may have some big seats to come up because the Red Bull, the Toro Rosso engine deals aren't confirmed, so it's not confirmed whether they will be in the sport next year, which means there could be 3-car teams.
Yeah. I can't see that happening. I can't see them leaving the sport.
It won't be 3-car teams because with the addition of Haas, that makes 20, and it's if it drops below 20.
Is that even without 4 cars?
Yeah, because at the moment we've got 20 cars.
Yeah.
Sorry, if it drops below 18.
No, I think you're right. I think it's 20.
Is it 20?
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I know Toto Wolff was saying when they were talking about Toro Rosso and Red Bull pulling out, Toto said if Toro Rosso pull out, and say if Red Bull pull out from the sport, I should say, make it easier, that the teams are ready for 3-car teams.
That's something. It must be less than 20 then.
I thought it was 18 as well, but...
Somebody will have to find seats. You're not going to turn down the opportunity of having Danny Rick racing for you.
No.
If he's all of a sudden he's available.
See, I know it's... I the amount of purists of the sport that have listened to this and just fucking hate me for saying this. The idea of a sport with 3 Mercedes, 3 Ferraris... Let's argue and say McLaren come right. Sooner or later.
Yeah, a couple of races.
3 McLarens, 3 Renaults. You know, like, of 3 of your manufacturers, sounds ace.
But I think if we had Mercedes 1, 2, 3, Ferrari 4, 5, 6 at every race,
they'd have to do something with the points, and only the top 2 cars from each team get points, and
I think
then you're back into the days of having to get your calculator out to find out who's world champion again.
No, I think the only thing you could do is make it. It would end up being 2-tier constructors championship. You would have a championship for constructors for manufacturers, and then you'd like MotoGP. You'd have like a satellite. And I know MotoGP doesn't have a constructors championship, does it? That's all drivers.
Yeah.
But or riders, but then you could have a satellite sort of team championship for the lower teams.
BGCC back in the day used to have the works and the independents.
But
F1 back in the original turbo era had a separate championship for non-turbo cars.
I'd argue that would give a bit more TV coverage and a bit more talk to the lower teams as well.
Oh, maybe the third car has to be a rookie driver with.
Yeah.
Less than X number of races experience.
It's a waste that.
Yeah, but it probably means if they're running, say, 3 McLarens, you get to see Stoffel Vandoorne in a McLaren alongside Fernando and Jensen.
But I think that'd happen anyway because I think Stoffel's good enough for it. But I don't think you should limit the teams if they did the 3 cars on what driver they want, because there'd be some sort of loophole somewhere, in the same reason that Jensen and Fernando in the past have done the young driver's test. You know, there'd be some way of wiggling it in there.
Yeah.
You basically, if you've got Mercedes that are producing the best car, you want them to have the 3 best dressed drivers in the world.
Which, according to you, one of them is in a very slow McLaren.
I think 2 of them are in a very slow McLaren.
I'd like to see all of the teams having the best drivers in the world and actual racing going on.
Yeah.
That would be a great idea for a motor racing series where you've got the best drivers in the best cars racing each other. Bernie, get on it.
I'd also argue as well, if you had three car teams, it would mean that the problem of pay drivers in the back, at the back of the grid, is less important, because you're, the drivers like Stoffel and like, I'll say Hulkenberg, even though he's not being forced out of the sport, but there would be more cars with more teams with more money to buy drivers, rather than guys that should be on the grid being forced out of the sport because Pastor Maldonado's bought his checkbook out.
You're always going to get it though, because
you'll always get it.
With extra cars, I think you'd actually see that happening more, because the successful teams are the ones that don't need the pay drivers, because they're the ones that get all the TV exposure. Mm-hmm. Apart from the latest Mercedes conspiracy theory,
yeah.
And it's the teams that don't get all the TV time and can't make a big pitch to their sponsors, saying, look, you'll get on TV lots and lots and lots. They're the ones that have to bring in the pay drivers, because they can't raise as much in sponsorship.
Well, no, the pay drivers will always be there, but with extra cars within the teams with the money, there'll be more paid seats there.
I get what you're saying, but then that means the slower teams are going to become worse.
No, because then you'd have your two-tier championship, so they'd still be getting more coverage and they'd be getting more sponsorship time. I've just fixed Formula One again. I've done this a few times.
we'll get on the phone to Bernie later,
yeah.
Or just wait until he's listened to the podcast.
I like to think that the old prick listens.
And now he's just switched off.
Because he is just pricked up. Did he say my surname?
No, don't say it, baby. We haven't had to use that one for a while. What's next on the list?
Right, so while we're talking about what we don't know, let's talk about some things that we do know. Manor.
Yes.
Have made some announcements.
Positive ones.
They have Mercedes engines, and they have Williams gearboxes and suspension.
This, I think, is one of the best things that has ever happened to a back-of-the-grid team.
Yep.
Because it's going to stop them being a back-of-the-grid team. Coming back to McLaren, if they don't book their ideas up, they're going to be a plum last back-of-the-grid
team.
Yeah,
that's what I'm worried about.
Because Manor will now have the ability... I mean, I think Graham Loudon actually said in the press release, the engines give us a few more seconds that our aero guys don't have to find. You give them a few more seconds, and already they're up with McLaren.
Yeah. Well, that's all I want from Manor. I don't
to be in the mix. Not...
Yeah, I don't expect them to win championships or win races. I just expect them to be in the same formula.
Yeah,
that's all I'm asking of them.
You've talked about this before, and I'm 100% with you.
Yeah,
we want them in the same race.
Yeah, yeah. In the same race, going faster than the GP team car that's on pole position.
Yeah,
because at the moment they're not.
No, you're right. Even the slowest Formula One car should be seconds faster than GP2.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be. It should be a different formula.
But yeah, this is going to help them no end. And still no announcements on who we're going to see driving the car next year. Although now they've got Rossi in, but doesn't Rossi have some kind of tie up with Ferrari?
I believe so, yes. But...
which is why he's got the seat that he's got. So I can't see him staying next season. Not if they are Mercedes, but there's Pascal Wehrlein, who is on the Mercedes development programme, currently racing in GP2.
Are they keeping Will for next year?
Nothing's been said yet, but speculation is there's a good possibility... because he's performed.
Where?
In the negotiating room with his checkbook.
I was going to say something else then.
No. you know, he paid $500,000 for the Caterham drive in Abu Dhabi last year.
Yeah.
And that was just for one race.
Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. So how much is he bringing into Manor?
I wonder where the money's coming from. I mean, because we know with Max Chiltern, you know where the money pit is.
Yeah, Carwin Racing, his dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Max Chiltern.
Max Chiltern.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm talking about Stevens.
Yeah, no idea where Will Stevens gets, gets the money from. Unless he has got a lot of other sponsorship behind him that we've not seen on the cards.
Why would you not have the sponsorship on the cards?
That's the thing that I don't understand, because there's nothing extra on the cards, there's nothing on his overalls.
Yeah, it's got to be like a financial backing just into him, hasn't it? You know, it's not even by a company that wants exposure. So it's got to be money that is his essentially, or his family's.
I don't know. I mean, maybe the Jelly Deal and Whelk stalls bring in quite a bit of cash. Me old China Sparrow, hard life.
he's far too only wears Essex for all that sort of business.
That's just a company that's got rich and moved out. But I think he will probably, personally, I think he will stay on, because it's done as solid a job as you can do driving that shed.
Yeah, yeah, I think he's been quicker his than teammates as many times has been outperformed by them.
Mm. He's media friendly, and he's him being interviewed. And all right, playing the chirpy comedy geezer. It's got on TV time.
I suppose being a British team as well, where if you've got nothing else, then I suppose having a British driver to send to your press events and stuff like that, it must help.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, it's going to, because I mean, you need someone that speaks the language, even if it is the estuary version. I'm going to get off this north-south bias at some point. My cold dead hands.
The whole history of things, fair enough, though.
Moving swiftly on. I think we probably should do, because I think the north-south divide is kind of down the middle of this sea, isn't it?
That's the first time anyone's ever said that in this podcast and not followed it up with, unlike a Matt and McLaren.
Until you just did.
Bugger.
So anyway, yes, moving swiftly on.
So yeah, we should have probably touched on this earlier when we were talking about teams that may not be in the championship next year. There is a report on a Dutch site that Toro Rosso may be running with the 2015 Ferrari engine next year. We ought to say the Manor Mercedes deal is for the 2016 engine. Not for this year's engine.
Yes, they are getting the whole up to date package. Yeah. So,
where's Kevin Magnussen from?
Denmark.
Why would a Dutch site all of a sudden have
info
news
on Toro Rosso? Max Verstappen.
And what's that got to do with?
Hmm?
What's that got to do with Kevin Magnussen?
He's Dutch, isn't he?
No, he's Danish.
Okay, doesn't matter.
Max Verstappen, current Toro Rosso, Rosso driver, who is Dutch.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want another coffee?
And wants a Ferrari seat.
And wants a Ferrari seat.
Yeah.
Driving a car with a Ferrari engine. But then again, Grosjean says that... Grosjean was apparently quoted, and I'm just waiting for it to be claimed it was misquoted, that the move to Haas for a year will get him Kimi's seat in 2017.
I'd heard rumours that that was why he was doing it. I hadn't heard anyone claiming he'd said that.
Yeah, apparently that came from him. The only way that he's going to get Kimi's seat is if he drives into the back of Kimi's car so
fast. If Kimi says, here's a seat.
Yeah, Kimi gets out of the car and belts him with the seat.
Yeah, it's not happening, is it?
Yeah, he'll get Kimi's seat. He'll just have to see a surgeon to extract it.
Well, this goes back to, with the as far as Verstappen, though, will Verstappen be in Toro Rosso next year or Red Bull?
Oh, I think if Red Bull are there, they're going to keep the same lineup, because Kvyat's sorted himself out.
It's not what the rumours are saying, though, is it? That Kvyat's out and Verstappen will be moving up. Yeah.
There goes the tinfoil.
Do you know, every time you do that, there's like a load of people that they get really heavy ASMR listening to this going, ah.
You worry me, you really do. I don't know. I mean, you can understand why a Dutch site is reporting on Toro Rosso.
Yeah.
Because of their Dutch driver.
Yes.
Not the Danish guy that doesn't drive for them.
All D's.
Typical Manx. We're all foreign.
Schumacher as well. He was from Dutchland, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he was. He was foreign. He speaks foreign. He's from Ferrania. Yeah, I mean, the engine regulations state at the moment that an engine manufacturer can supply three teams. That's changing slightly for next season, where you'll have a choice, where teams will have a choice of buying in the current year engine for a maximum of 900 million or 90 million or something with a 9 in it, and the previous year's engine for two-thirds of that price. And obviously, with the special dispensation needed from the FIA to supply more teams than the regulation, Bernie has to give it the okay. And as Bernie is on the massive campaign to keep Dietrich Mateschitz and the whole Red Bull organisation sweet and in Formula One, then that's more or less rubber stamped. Mm-hmm. But it would make sense that if Red Bull are going to get the full 2016 engine, their young development junior whatever, call it what you will, team gets the slightly lesser spec engine,
which means that the junior team stops
embarrassing the senior teams. Yeah, you can't. You know, I mean, that was the whole thing at the start of the season.
They also have anchors attached to the car.
Yeah, that's the one.
I'll argue this point though. I don't think the Toro Rosso has hassled Red Bull all year anywhere near as much as you keep saying.
But coming from the Australian Grand Prix,
yeah,
where Toro Rosso scored points and Red Bull didn't,
mm-hmm.
and it was, oh, that's embarrassing. The junior team finished ahead of the senior team.
Yeah, but it's happened before in other things, you
know. But
look at the points that are on the board.
I mean, Red Bull have sorted themselves out in some ways, apart from fighting with Renault. And, you know, it's Christian Horner would not want that to happen at any point ever, unless both the Red Bull cars
fell off. I don't think that I don't think this would be being spoke about as much if it wasn't for the fact that everyone's got a bit of a Max Verstappen hard on. I think that Toro Rosso has got more eyes on it because of him doing some spectacular overtaking.
Which, yeah, I mean, that is a point, but I think this is, if Toro Rosso are to take the lesser spec,
mm-hmm.
Of the Ferrari engines, it's a case of they are now running it as the junior team, and maybe they're just sort of reorganising things in-house.
I don't think if they are running the lower spec and Red Bull have got the 2016 engine, I don't think it's just to keep the Toro Rosso down. I think it's probably because Ferrari can't supply another two of the 2016 engines.
I'd agree with that, and quite possibly cash.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I mean, Ferrari, obviously, they'll be supplying one less team after this year because they won't be supplying Mana.
Yeah.
But they'll be supplying Haas.
Yeah, but the difference is here.
But they already are.
If Red Bull get the deal they want, they'll be getting the same engines as what's in the Ferrari. I don't think that Ferrari have never done that for a team. I can't. I've got no sources to go to verify that information, but I would argue that Ferrari will have never given another team that they're racing against the same engine that's in their car.
Well, no, because last time Red Bull and Toro Rosso had Ferrari engines.
Yeah.
It was a slightly dialed back version
of
what was powering the red car.
But I think, I mean, I'd imagine that's what goes for most times. Yeah.
But that was acceptable under the rules then.
Yeah.
Under next year's engine supply rules, it's got to be the same engine.
Well, I wonder if they're going to get the same, because Mercedes constantly say that the engine that's in the back of the Williams is exactly the same as what's in their car until they got the big upgrade, you know, that they could only bring to that race. And then it was the software that was apparently making the difference, so they gave all the software to Williams to try and bring them up to Ferrari level. So I wonder if there's going to be that playing with. They might get the engine, but they might not get the drivers.
Yeah, will they get the bits to run it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they've not made it too clear on what the rules regarding engine management software is for these new engine regulations.
I think it's only component. I think that all that sort of stuff, I think, is it's up to the teams, because I mean, when you think about it, Dan will probably know more about this than I do, but there's different tech companies, isn't there, that deal that with the software for different teams?
I believe so, yeah.
I mean, Manor are using last year's software on the Ferrari, well, Vista.
They're using last year's everything, aren't they?
Yeah, pretty much. Last year's car.
Last year's cakes in the catering.
No, but we got to.
I think
at least they've got catering, unlike Lotus.
I actually think
come on, no, that's not an ooh, that is a true.
I tell you what though, there is a full-on first world problems, isn't there? This race is a nightmare. We've been locked out of our hospitality suite.
I had a glass of champagne in 23 minutes.
Yeah, I wonder if they paid up for Sochi. Yeah, where are we gonna see Maldonado being interviewed and not answering questions?
Saying that, I think because Renault put that letter of intent into Biden, their overdraft's probably been lifted.
Yeah, are Renault actually gonna do it in time? Because if Renault don't get the money in, then HMRC will swoop. Pure conjecture.
Yeah, there's nothing at the moment to suggest that they won't. Yeah. Apart from various European cars emissions gubbins that's going on.
Yeah, they haven't been caught yet, so I can't see
bit of a wait and see.
Yeah, can't see VW entering F1 anytime soon after that.
No.
So you have the list.
Yes.
Just quickly with you saying VW, do you think this could be, if for instance they can't get the deal, Red Bull can't get the deal with Ferrari they want, and as you were saying earlier before we started the podcast, this might be a way for Red Bull to engineer getting out of the sport. Do you think they could be engineering a way out of the sport because now all of a sudden Audi can't come to the rescue?
If that's the case, then they've been engineering their way out of the sport since before all of this.
I think they were engineering their way out of their Renault deal to a certain point, but maybe it's the mission has changed. The tactics are the same.
It's just that the implementation is slightly different.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're gonna have to find more pictures of tinfoil hats, aren't we? But I can see your point on that. Lee, take that Kit Kat wrapper off your head. Other sweets are available, and if any of them want to sponsor us,
but not many of them are wrapped in tinfoil.
That is true. Are they?
That's just what you what they
that's
want
what
to
they
think.
Want us to think. I had a very salient point there. I've completely forgotten it. Anyway, carry on. You have the running order because nobody else can read your hand.
Yes, it's just about legible if you're me.
Tennis
shoes.
Yeah.
Should Jensen wear them?
Gone winter too much.
This is a question that Lee was asking earlier.
I'd just like to say that your handwriting looks like the finest calligraphy compared to mine. I once wrote a note for somebody and they looked at one look at it and asked me if I went to school at Cairo.
Yeah, bearing in mind you're a decorator, you'd have to write with a paintbrush.
I just colour in to a professional level.
Oh dear.
Right. So it's Flood that's the sensible one then.
I think we need the four of us.
Yeah, we balance each other out or cancel each other out. I'm not quite sure which.
Mate, if we're
six of one, half dozen the other.
Yeah.
I think we might need half a dozen of Dan to balance us out. carry on, we need Formula One stuff.
This is the guy whose fantasy team was once called Fat Kids Always Win at Seesaw.
So yeah, moving on from the Toro Rosso stuff, but not too far. Lee had a sort of a moral question about Formula One earlier, which is, we've got potentially two teams owned by one group who are strong-arming the sport a bit. So Lee's question is that too much?
Yeah, have Red Bull got too much power in the situation they're in?
No, because they're not Ferrari on that level. Because of Ferrari's constant power of veto.
See,
however, if Red Bull get into bed with Ferrari, then do you actually have three out of the 11 teams all towing the same party line?
This is what I was worried about, isn't it?
Yeah, then it becomes an even bigger thing. I would say yes, it is a major thing with two teams, but it's not as major as it could be because of Ferrari's power of veto over everything. Mm-hmm. However, if Ferrari has the power to directly influence two more teams that they are supplying, that come under the same organisation, and if they don't do what Ferrari wants them to do, then they will find themselves in the same position that they are in now, so they will have to become Ferrari's yes men. Yes, very much so. It's not a good thing.
Except where there's been talk in the past, and it's been mentioned on this podcast, of the Manor team becoming the Mercedes junior team.
Mercedes Rosso.
Yeah.
Toro Manor.
Which would be the start of balancing things out. And when you consider that Mercedes supply engines to two further teams on the grid.
You say that, but it wouldn't balance things out because you've got two championship winning teams there. You know, they both have the historic winners bonus and stuff like that, so.
Yeah, but Mercedes don't have the same power, same powers over the whole of the sport that Ferrari do.
No, that's what I mean.
When it comes to making rules, everything's got to be rubber stamped by Ferrari first.
No, but I mean towards Ferrari, because if you've got Ferrari and Red Bull in the same camp, you've got like the most successful Formula One team of all time and the most successful Formula One team of recent times on the same page.
Yeah.
And I don't think Manor getting into bed with Mercedes balances that. That's what I mean.
No, it certainly doesn't, because just because of the power that two former world championship owning effectively teams have got, and the other three teams that will be on the grid next year that have got a history of winning championships. Being Mercedes, McLaren, and
Williams.
I suppose new Renault as well, possibly. Yes, you're gonna have three or four voices there, but they're still not going to be as loud as the Ferrari one, especially with Red Bull backing as well. And we all know what kind of noise Christian Horner could make.
Yeah, well, I was just about to say, I think they're the only team that I can think of, if they had Ferrari's engines, that would stand up to Ferrari, regardless of what was being said. Let's face it, Dietrich Mateschitz would walk into Maranello, turn around and say, well, didn't it go downhill around here fast? And then say he doesn't like pizza and pasta.
It's not extreme enough.
Yeah, Mussolini, there's a guy.
Too soon. but yeah, I think it can cause a problem, and to be honest, I think the major problem in F1 is all the flaming politicking anyway.
No, it's not.
Oh, all the foot stamping and.
Do you know what though? If we didn't have all that, all the politics and stuff like that,
it'd just be motor podcast. Racing.
No, but it's. I mean, every sport's got politics in it.
Not to this extent.
Of course, it does.
I mean, all right, okay. You got a lot of You got a lot of politicking in American football. You got 32 teams there.
Mm-hmm.
Huge
amount of politicking in cycling,
and you've got God knows how many teams there.
Yeah.
You've got what? Seven pro tour teams, haven't you?
Seven pro tour teams, but then you've got all your top ranked continental teams that always end up on the main events anyway. And in the case of MTN Quebec or whatever they're going to be called next season,
welcome to the cycle pit.
We might do three legs, two wheels. Yeah, this way. But there is the politics in that. But the whole sport isn't just based around what one team or another decides is going to be right or not.
No. but not Formula One.
Like it kind of is, because if something new comes in and Ferrari don't like it, then it doesn't happen. Ferrari's power of veto, which they've had written into countless Concorde agreements since the first one came in, is absolutely massive. You know, we'd have had turbos 3 years sooner if it wasn't for them.
See, I don't understand the power that Ferrari have in Formula One.
Easy. They keep saying, if we don't like it, we'll pull out.
Then they should, we'll go. Ferrari need Formula One more than Formula One needs Ferrari.
Yep. Formula One doesn't think that, though. And that's what... And
Bernie doesn't think that.
But Bernie is Formula One.
I tell you what, I think if you had an... like a board member, which it'll probably turn into a board of businessmen expert and sports experts running Formula One, which is what I think it probably needs rather than one.
Slightly loopy old man.
Yeah, I think there would be cases there where somebody would be brave enough to turn around to Ferrari and say, no. No, if you don't like it, take your horse and fuck off. You're doing really well at WEC, aren't you? In the what is it, like the LMP2? Well done.
The politicking just annoys me at times, and yeah, I agree with you that teams shouldn't have too much clout, but unfortunately, when one team is given all the clout in the world, it just kind of makes it worse. Anyway, I shall climb down off my high prancing horse now.
Just quickly on that, yeah, Jesus.
That one took a couple of seconds.
I think the... I had to get through my bullshit firewall. I think the only viewing figures you'd lose from Formula One if Ferrari left the sport is from Italy. I think the rest of the world would carry on.
There are a lot of Ferrari fans around the world, but... Yeah, I think...
Yeah, but the devotee, like, I'll carve it into my fucking arm. And, they're in Italy.
Yeah, it seems they'd have to develop their own braking systems.
Is it for all Ferrari brakes, is it?
Magenti Minelli, which you see on every car, that's the braking system. And that's Ferrari.
Didn't he make ice cream for a while?
Mr. Wiener. Sadly, I knew what Lee was thinking about.
Yes!
Oh,
Ferrari was always the best. Right, so yes. Moving on from politics, which is dominated by one slightly mad old man, to the Grand Prix in Russia next week.
Which is dominated by one slightly mad middle-aged man.
You can't say he's a mad middle-aged man.
No, because he'll have you shot.
That little crazy old man said he was a perfectly lovely person and he could see him running Europe.
Whether we like it or not. So, Sochi, God, last year was dull. It was a procession.
Except Nico Rosberg went into the pits, came out right at the back, ended up second.
Yeah, because everyone had fallen asleep. you got a Herman Tilke designed street circuit.
That's not really a street circuit.
No, Herman Tilke's drawn a map.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping for a more interesting race than last year, because it was very processional. Rosberg did well. A combination of a few good overtakes and some good undercutting. That's all I can say on it, really. There's nothing from last year sticks in my mind apart from bored.
I just thought then that street circuit has as much in common with a real street circuit as Marina Bay has in common with the real ocean.
Fair point. Well, what are we to expect? Because Niki Lauda has said this week that he fears another Singapore,
which could make the whole thing dull and interesting at the same time.
I don't think it'll be like Singapore. I think it'll be much worse.
Like Japan?
Worse than that.
Like Sochi last year.
Well, yeah, on par with that, but probably a little bit worse. Just because there's less to pay for, play for. I hope Bernie isn't listening still, but yeah, at least double points made it interesting last year.
That wasn't Sochi.
No.
Oh, right, okay.
They were still around.
That is true. It was still a thing. I mean, Mercedes can wrap the constructors' title up if they score three more points than Ferrari this week.
Oh, well, at least you'll never see that coming.
So one two finish will do that easily.
Well, yes, because that would definitely be more points. A 1-3 finish would do it.
Mm-hmm.
But Lauda doesn't seem to think, or is he sandbagging? I mean, Niki Lauda has been letting his mouth run away with himself lately. There was the whole of the Jenson Button thing.
Yeah.
And the cameras caught him and Ron Dennis in a very heated arm-waving conversation, shall we say. I think he was told to keep his nose out.
I'd fucking love to know how Niki Lauda's got the power that he's got. He just turned up one day. He turned up one day. He seems to be the most important person in the team.
Didn't he sell the planes to Bernie for transporting all the teams around?
Possibly, but I mean that still doesn't.
I think he swapped them for unlimited power in a team of his choosing. He's winning.
Right.
I'll do that. Yeah, I mean
team wildcard.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be, you know, if Red Bull was still been on top, it'd have gone to them. But what else can we see this weekend? Alonso said McLaren aren't going to improve between now and the end of the season.
Is that a power circuit? I can't even think of the layout of that circuit.
It's got that long sweeping corner around the fountain or whatever.
Yeah. Is that an easy corner, though? Is it going to be one that requires a lot more on car than engine grunt?
It's sort of 50-50.
Is it?
Yeah, you need speed going in, but you've got to be able to hang on to the speed
to keep all the way through it.
Which is why McLaren are going to suffer, because they just can't harvest power.
How were McLaren in Singapore again? Pretty dreadful, weren't they?
Well, they both retired. I think Jensen could have possibly got in the top 10 if he hadn't had the coming together with Maldonado.
Yeah.
And then they retired him just in case to save his clutch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was true. And they were pretty dire in qualifying, weren't they? They thought qualifying would be better, but they were both had Q1.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a strange one. I mean, if Ferrari, maybe? Is it one of those tracks where you think Ferrari might go well at?
Well, yeah, because if the whole sort of layout of the circuit or the way that it runs and what you need there is going to be similar to Singapore, then Ferrari didn't do badly by winning.
Dominated rather than winning.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know, I can't get any enthusiasm for this weekend's race.
At least they've made it slightly more interesting with tyres this weekend.
What have they said it's going to be? Because I've not actually had some
soft and super soft.
Yeah, where it was soft and medium last year, wasn't it? And they basically could have done the whole race on softs.
Yeah.
So, at least the tyres might help.
Probably going to try and make a spectacle of it.
That was interesting as well. Pirelli turned around, I know I'm probably a little bit late saying this, but Pirelli said that they, if Red Bull pull out of Formula 1, they would reconsider their position in Formula 1.
Their position in Formula 1 is everyone wants to get rid of them and replace them with Michelins, so...
So if they were to reconsider that, it would be they want to get rid of everybody and replace them with Michelin. That's the only other way I could see it going. So if we're going to have... It's going to be one in the pit, basically, if the tyres aren't too radically different.
However, the last five or so races that we've predicted will be really boring
have been absolute thrillers, because we said Hungary was just going to be a procession.
Yeah, so well, we absolute kind of, procession. We I'm kind not of even going to bother
we
watching.
We kind of thought Singapore was going to be good, and we kind of thought...
We were all, 2 weeks ago, we were all really looking forward to Japan, because you never get a dull Japanese Grand Prix.
Yeah.
And sterling admission from tonight's absentee, Mr. Flood, he actually did fall asleep while he was live blogging it.
He had been up all night, though.
He had been up all night. I had gone to bed, so I was dead sensible. He, on the other hand, was making noodles at 4:15 in the morning.
Noodles are good.
Yeah, making noodles is a very sensible thing.
Yeah, quite past 4 in the morning when you haven't been to bed.
Well, you could have been doing heroin at 4 in the morning.
I was doing scrambled eggs and coffee.
It's not heroin, is it?
Well, no, but it tastes better.
Well, if you say so.
I've tried my scrambled eggs, mate. this is a bit of a damp squib as far as predictions for the race go, isn't it?
Last year it was a Mercedes win.
Yeah.
Pretty dominant.
Yeah.
This year probably the same unless it's not.
I reckon it is gonna be Ferrari, unless Lando is just sandbagging, just because he needed something to get column inches from this week and can't talk about any other drivers because now Jensen's signed.
Ferrari have been gaining on the Mercedes.
Until Japan.
The other news is that there may or may not, because Red Bull aren't sure, be a Renault upgrade. It's not going to be the full 40 horsepower that was promised. And it may happen before this weekend, or it may not happen until Austin. This is complete non-news. Judging by the interview that I read with Danny Rick...
It's really weird anyone to think all forms of communication have broken down between engine and team.
Strange, that, isn't it? How could that happen?
So you think that at least, like, Facebook or something?
Yeah, like a tweet or even a Snapchat. By the way, we've got a new engine. Oh, I've read that. Oh, it's been deleted. Danny Rick seems to think that, yeah, something will happen soon, but he doesn't know what it is, and he's just going to wait and see.
It must be a terrible position to be in, mustn't it, for the drivers in that team?
You don't know what's going to be in the back of the car. I mean, Renault haven't actually spent...
You don't know if the car's going to be there?
No, that's Lotus. That's Lotus.
What?
They don't know if the car's going to be there.
Well, they will be now.
Well, yeah, true.
I don't mean this year. I mean next year. You know,
next year, Red yeah. Race,
you know, it's the if you're a driver that's as good as Ricardo is, and your future's totally uncertain at the minute.
I think he seems laid back enough to be able to cope with it, but I think it's duck syndrome. Everything's calm on the surface, and underneath he's paddling like hell.
Yeah.
Seeing which Formula E teams are still hiring.
Yeah. Yeah, to be honest, I think Danny Rick could actually walk into any team in any class of racing. And yeah. We've got a 5-time world champion in this. Don't care. Danny, get it. There's the keys.
Well, he did it to a 4-time world champion.
Exactly. So, are we going to see any improvement from Red Bull?
Nope.
Are Renault going to actually spend these mythical tokens that they started with 12 of and haven't even developed the engine?
No.
How many penalties are we going to see this week new engines?
Several.
Yeah, and what?
Possibly the Red Bulls and the Toro Rossos.
Yeah, well,
if there is an upgrade.
What did McLaren's break with last weekend?
Shit cars.
Did Alonso retire, didn't he? No, he was 11th.
Alonso was 11th.
Jensen retired, did he? No.
No, they're both finished.
Both finished. They're both finished. I was thinking of Singapore, wasn't I?
Yeah. No, they both actually finished, but not very quickly.
Alonso wasn't bad, you know. Alonso was 11th. That shouldn't be forgotten, that. You know, under all the piston and wind.
Yeah.
You know, Alonso could have scored points in that race through racing. You know, he looked out a little bit because he was... He came out in front of Ericsson, didn't he? And everyone else was slowed up by Ericsson. I think that's probably why Jensen was still stuck back down there as well.
Mm.
I think it's a bit harsh of of Alonso, especially considering that was one of the best finishes of the year.
I hate the fact that we have to say that 11th is one of the best finishes of the year for.
It's a step forward, though, isn't it? It's a step towards the midfield. That's what they keep saying. They need to go towards the midfield.
I mean, they managed to get the car around to the end, which I suppose is pretty much a minor miracle.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the best race, I don't think.
Okay, here is my prediction.
Go on, then.
Bearing in mind that we have Bernie allegedly annoyed with the Mercedes team, so not no coverage of them. He's probably going to be a bit pissed off with Red Bull, so no coverage of them. I reckon anonymous Sauber are going to be less anonymous this weekend.
I like your thinking on this.
No idea where they'll come, but we'll see some.
We'll see lots of them.
Either that or empty roads like we saw in Japan.
Yeah.
The only problem is going to be for Sauber, because if I remember rightly, there's a lot of blue around that circuit, so they're going to get loads of TV time essentially be camouflaged.
You just see a little bit of yellow in the distance. Yeah. any other predictions for this weekend? Obviously, we're doing the Past the Disaster Predictor, so tweet us at Three Legs Four Wheels if you want to join in with us there. We'll get the league tables up for next season.
Yeah,
and getting a sponsorship, we may even be able to get a prize together.
Well, a prize would be nice.
A signed poster of the four of us.
Naked.
You've always got to go just that one step further than one step too far.
Second place gets naked, first place gets clothed.
Third gets a special video.
A personal greeting on Periscope there.
You'd need a Periscope.
No. Don't say it, baby.
Dan's going to write an Android app for that, aren't you?
I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, what, the Jacques Villeneuve or the Past the Disaster?
Yeah.
Well, you asked if I could. I didn't say I would.
But I want you to say it here on the podcast, because then it's nailed in. That's almost my baby being created.
I think this is about a good time to give Lee a cup of milky tea and sign off for the week.
So, yes.
So we'll be back with a review of Whatever Happens. And until then, keep listening. I'll be live blogging the race. Flood may be joining me if he can find a bar in Perth with the race on and Wi-Fi at stupid o'clock. I think it's only about 10 p.m. there, so...
That's not too bad.
So, you'll be getting sensible live blogging from me, and Flood will be giving a 4X. So on that note, we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I don't like milky tea.